Have you ever been confused by somebody's actions that don't meet up to their words? If you experienced that, where somebody says something and then all of a sudden they're doing something different? And I'm not just talking about, oh, somebody's lying. I'm just talking about the substance of who they are, right? It's like, I'm this kind of person, but yet they live this way. And it creates some confusion. It's kind of like, okay, I don't know what to do with that. Like, what's the genuine part? What's the real part? Have you experienced people like that? Or you experienced yourself like that? You know, when I was in... probably fourth grade. I lived in Oregon. I lived in Oregon from third grade to sixth grade. My family moved out there. My dad was going back to school, and a family of four. I've got two older brothers, one younger sister, and my mom and dad took this old brown Ford Ecoline van, drove it across country to Oregon, and we lived there. We lived in the country in this little town called Banks, which is outside of Beaverton, which is, Beaverton's known for the Nike headquarters. So we're about an hour from Portland, Oregon. But this one day I was in the yard, and I came across this, digging around, and I came across this shiny little thing, this coin. And I looked at it, and it was like a coin from the 1700s, with a English, it was an English coin from England. And I thought, I gotta bring this to school and do show and tell. You guys remember show and tell, right? Yeah. Do they still do show and tell in school? They do, okay. I think why show and tell is so important is it helps kids to begin to public speak, but it also gives them, it's really captivating because you begin to tell a story of something that's important to them and they are showing it and then they're telling about it. So I brought this coin with me to show and tell, and I was like so proud of it. Like, who would find a coin? I felt like I had dug up like a chest of gold or something from the 1700s. It's probably extremely valuable. So I shared about this coin, and maybe somebody loved my story so much that my coin did not come home with me because somebody decided that they wanted it more than me. So this is not the actual coin. I wish it was. It was probably very valuable. But show and tell. I think there's something about show and tell that's powerful, and I want you to realize that your life today is actually show and tell. And are you creating confusion by saying one thing, but then your life is being lived another way? Your life is showing people something, but yet your words don't match. It's not congruency. Last week, we talked about the importance of authentic Christianity, the authentic Jesus followers, that we don't need more religion in the world. We need more faithful followers of Jesus. And my concern is that sometimes, and we've all been there, so don't feel like there's no condemnation here, because we've all been there. But my concern is, as a world is looking for authentic Jesus followers, my question is, what is our life saying? Is it bringing people closer to Jesus, or is it bringing confusion for people? Like, I know you go to church, but your life does not match, or I think you're a Jesus follower. Are you religious? Or are you a Jesus follower? I'm confused. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Thessalonica, is beginning to talk about how to live this authentic Christian life. And I think there's some great lessons for us in that. And so when we begin to unpack these scriptures, we're going to say, okay, what is my life? Is it congruent? What am I showing and telling the world around me, my coworkers, my neighbors? And am I learning how to live authentic? And by the way, authenticity does not necessarily, there's two ways you can look at it. One is not being authentic, which is you pretend to be religious and yet you're living a different life. Or you live like the world, and yet you come to church on Sunday, and that's also, I think sometimes we confuse grace. We confuse, what does it mean to be authentic? Is it, you know, authenticity? Is we just like, you know, we're none of us are perfect. Therefore, we're just going to live like everybody else. Or is there, are we being challenged? Paul challenging us to another way. Show and tell. So if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's read this together. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain, but though we had already suffered and have been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of such much conflict. It's interesting. They come from a culture of honor and shame. And so for them to be treated shamefully was a big deal. But yet there was something of substance to them that didn't prevent them from pursuing, following Jesus and doing what Jesus called them to. First three, and this is where I want you to really highlight here. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery. God who tests our hearts. Here Paul begins to start talking about what it means to live with integrity, to walk with integrity, to say that our words match our actions, that we kind of live congruently. And that word congruently means that our show and tell match. That means our words and our actions match congruently. And if you're taking notes, this is your main point. I'm just going to give you two words. Live congruently. Live congruently. And he begins to say, you know, the words that he said, he did not have any impure motives. And for those of you who are people pleasers, you know what I'm going to say right now. It's really hard to live congruently if you're a people pleaser because you're always trying to say the right thing, do the right thing, because you don't want to upset somebody. Paul wasn't worried about upsetting anybody, except he was worried about being faithful to the one who had called him. He was worried about being a God pleaser. And I think, you know, when people say, well, I'm a God pleaser, I don't care about anybody, that's still not congruent, because God asked us to love the people as well as serving God. But I think the thing is, what's compelling you? What's compelling you? Are you more compelled by keeping up an image? Are you compelled to have status? Are you compelled to look or do a certain thing, but yet it's not congruent with your own faith? But if we begin to start saying, how do I please God and not man? You begin to start realizing that as you're pleasing God, you'll become more congruent in your actions and your words. Your actions and your words, your show and tell will start matching. You'll start living congruently. And again, this whole idea of deceiving, I think sometimes we deceive ourselves or deceive others when we don't live congruently, when our show and tells don't match up. And when we're starting to please other people, then we start to compromise on some of our values. And here Paul is saying, no, live congruent. Live in a way that you're trying to serve Jesus, you're trying to serve God, not pleasing man, but you're doing it with a sense of integrity, not under any kind of deception or any kind of cloak of being somebody that you're not. Be authentic. Be true. Be congruent. Then it goes on to say this. So the first part is to live congruently. The next one, the next part, or number two in this, if you're taking notes, is compassionate connection. Compassionate connection. So if you're taking notes, write that down. Compassionate connection. So here we are in verse 7 or 8. It says this. But we were gentle among you. So here Paul is saying that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were saying this about the little baby church. Remember, we said this was a church that was forming in Thessalonica. They heard the good news of Jesus, became a community of followers of Jesus, and they're growing and they're learning what does it mean to live in the kingdom of God. And our world is trying to, and our culture is trying to figure that out today. Christians are still trying to figure that out today to people who are non-Christians, right? And so, but there's a way that we need to act. Our show and tell needs to match. It says this way, but we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you become so very dear to us. There is a saying that says this, that people don't really care to know what you know until they know that you care. Right? And I think in many ways we want to spit knowledge sometimes, or we want to be religious with people, or we want to be righteous, and yet we do it in a way that is actually almost offensive, because the person knows that you actually don't really care about them. And here Paul is saying, actually, if you were to live congruently as a follower of Jesus, you're going to have this compassionate connection, that you're not going to just be a spewer of information, but you're going to really want to be in relationship and you want to connect gently. I think it's too easy, and I think you can see this on social media, that people love to spew information and they can be pretty harsh with it. And I would encourage you not to do that, because I don't believe it represents Jesus super well. Jesus did everything through relationship. And if you are concerned with something, then get face to face with somebody and let them know that you care about them and care about an issue. But until somebody knows that you care, you just become noise. And the world doesn't need more noise. We need to cut through the noise with love and compassionate connection with people. Our world struggles with the superficial relationships, and we find that it's really actually hard to connect with people. I would encourage you, young people, how well is it? Like, I'm going to look at you right in the eyes right now, and you want to turn away from me. Right, Tabor, you want to turn? No, he's got me locked in here. Because you guys are congruent and you're compassionately connected. But a lot of people can't even look people in the eyes anymore, because that's too uncomfortable for them. We're not used to knowing how to actually connect with people in real and meaningful ways and have real and meaningful conversations where you want to have empathy and you want to begin to connect in deeper ways. And here Paul, I love that analogy of, he's so gentle, like a mom with a young baby. I'm just kind of picturing, like, moms don't go do like shaking baby, right? They come here, little baby, and let me coddle you, and let me nurse you, and let me be gentle with you. And this is the image that he's saying, that we need to be with one another. And we need to be with people who are even outside the church, that we need to be gentle and that we share this good news. And nobody wants any kind of Bible thumper, right? That does not do anything for anybody except make them run the other direction, right? But if somebody says, I care about you, let me hear your story. Let me understand your life a little bit more. Can I tell you my life? Can I share with you my struggles? But can I also tell you about my Jesus, who walks with me and he's healing me and he's making me a whole person, a wholer person? Compassionate connection. Then we go on to this part over here, and this is the third part. If I can find my third part. Here is my third part. That's not my third part. That's last week's message. Here's my third part. That's not my third part. Here's my third part. I found my third part. There we go. Thank you so much. That's not my third part. Let me read the verse, and then we'll figure out what that third part is. I know the verse is. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. I found my third part. Transforming grace. are the two words for the third part, transforming grace. You see, I think the world does not need, as we said last week, more religion, more holier-than-thou people, more self-righteous. They need people who have encountered the living Jesus and their lives are being transformed. Not perfect, but they're being transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ, transforming grace. You see, here it is. They says, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you. Sorry, go back. In verse 13, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a word of men, but what it really is, the word of God, which you're doing today and here and now, that you're saying, hey, I'm listening to Mark's message and I'm receiving it not as this is from Mark, but I'm receiving that this is God's word that's going to transform me. Because the word of God, right? The word of God, which is at work in you believers. It's at work. There's something happening. Because if you've met somebody who's like, hey, I've known you, and yes, you started going to church, but yet I don't see anything different in your life. You're still out partying with all your friends. You're still out, you know, doing whatever you were doing before Jesus. I won't go into details. So you know what all the stories, right? You're still doing all the things you did before Jesus. Now, I get it. If you're beginning this journey with Jesus, it's going to take a while for things to start to change and look different. But if you've been walking with Jesus for 5 years and nothing looks different, my question is, are you walking with Jesus? Are you allowing his word to transform you? Transforming grace by his grace, not by his law, but by his grace. And I would encourage you, again, this world is looking for authentic people who are starting to walk with Jesus, who are walking with Jesus. And because of that, their life is not the same. And that becomes evidence to a living God who is alive and active and wants to work in people's lives. Because if all it is I noticed that you became more religious, but there has been no change in your life, it makes me feel like you just found a new club to be a part of. And that's good for you, but I'm not looking for a new club. I'm looking for an encounter with a living God who loves me, who wants to change to work in my heart the broken areas in those things in my life that need healing. I want that encounter. I'm not interested in just the religion. But here's the thing. Your life is show and tell. Your life is show and tell. So are you living congruently? In other words, your words and your actions are matching up. But here's this other part. It says, verse 12, we exhort each one of you and encourage you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. In other words, he's saying there's a distinct walk. There is a distinct walk when we're called into the kingdom of God. When we give our life to Jesus, there is a distinction. The path becomes more narrow. And he's called us to walk that narrow path. And he's asking us to allow our lives to be show and tell to a world that's looking for truth, that's looking for the authentic, that is looking for the real. And they look to you and to me to tell them if God is real. And so we've been charged, and it becomes a little bit weighty to realize that we are to walk with this level of integrity, that we are to live congruently, that we are to have compassionate connections, that we can't just live superficial and throwing up things on social media, and that we actually are in community with one another, and we're tender with people. And that we realize that wait a second, I can't just live with knowledge. I have to experience a living God myself and allow this transforming grace to take place in my life for the world to begin seeing that actually that God is real. God is real. Before I had my encounter with the Holy Spirit in my early 20s, I saw a radical transformation in my brother. And that made me very eager to discover what it is that has happened in his life. And what is it different than I was trying to do, which I was kind of, I grew up in the church, but I really didn't have this, I didn't really have a relationship. I knew Jesus. I probably was saved, but I didn't have this real relationship with him that I was longing for. But I saw something so radically different in my brother's life that became so compelling to say, what has taken place? So much so than when he was visiting me and my new wife at the time, my same wife, and only wife, and the best wife. That when he says, "Hey, I want to introduce you to this guy that really introduced him to the power of the Holy Spirit that radically changed his life," I said yes. Because there was something authentic to that. It wasn't religion. It was authenticity. It was transforming. It was relational. So in the living room of our new little house, my brother came over with his friend. He started telling me about this God who so loves me. He started reading my mail. If you ever, that expression is like, he knew things in my past he shouldn't know. So I knew that God was working supernaturally, and he's telling me things about my future that I only dreamt about, and it was just kind of like I started weeping, and I encountered this God who loved me. And this is what this world needs. They need for you and I to live congruently, that our actions and our words match up. They need us to have compassionate, this gentle compassion in relationship and the community that we realize that we are for each other, that we just don't want to purvey information, but I really care about you, your coworkers, your classmates. And then we really are interested to first encounter this love that God has for us, that we, when we dig into the word, when we come to a message like this, we say, hey, I just don't want to check a box. God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? And what do you want to transform in my life? This transforming grace. I haven't had an opportunity to share this with you yet. It was Palm Sunday. Audra and I weren't here. We were at another church speaking. That church is called the Zeal Movement. It's a church in Manchester, led by Kaylin and Phil Tuttle. So Kaylin and Phil used to be on staff at Grace Capital Church, and we had planted multiple churches. We were a multi-site church. We had one in Laconia, and we had launched one over in Pittsfield. Both those churches are still in existence today, but we had launched one in Manchester that kind of struggled to get going, and we felt like it was important to kind of bring it back into the fold. And in that process, there was some turbulence there. There was some relational turbulence. And at that same time, Kaylin and Phil were coming off of staff, and the pastors at that time were saying, well, we're not interested in coming back. We're actually just interested in starting our own church. So Otter and I were starting this church, and it became the Zeal Movement. They since turned that church, those pastors who initially started it, turned it over to Kaylin and Phil. And Phil came to the office probably a couple months ago, and he came and he says, I hadn't talked to him in years. He goes, God's just been putting something in my heart that I want to just kind of share with you. And he came with us with a plastic tub, and there was two bottles of water in this plastic tub. And I said, this is kind of weird. He goes, could we just find a private room to meet? And I was like, Phil, what are you going to do? Like, so he goes, I want to wash your feet. Well, first of all, I want to tell you something that I have committed. I've been a part of a foot washing before. It is the weirdest thing. Most awkward. I don't want people touching my feet, let alone washing my feet. And maybe that's pride or arrogance on my part. I don't know, but it's weird. And he goes, I want to wash your feet. And I everything in me was like, I already made a commitment. I'll never let this happen again. But I knew it was important for him. So I said, Phil, go ahead. So it was an awkward moment, I have to admit. But he goes, I needed this because, he goes, we started our church. And by the way, I'm telling you this because he publicly told it at his church on the Sunday we went to preach. He goes, we started this church out of division, not out of unity. He says some harsher words, but I'm going to let those be his words. And he goes, it was not right. He goes, would you just come and preach at our church? It's really important. So little did we know that that we were there. And he starts it by sharing this. He goes, I want to let you know that there's no blessing in the way we were started. We were started out of nobody sent us. We started out of division, and God can't bless that. So I've asked Mark and Audrey to be here. I've asked them to send us as a church from Grace Capital Church. Sorry. First of all, it's the best way to plant a church and send a church. It didn't cost us any money. We just had to show up and pray over them. No, I really appreciate Phil. But, you know, it was a show and tell. It was a show and tell moment to realize that this world is looking for authentic, genuine people to realize that we're not perfect, but we're committed to doing it God's way. So I shared and gave a message on unmet expectation, and really I took the blame, I took the responsibility for how that church got started, because there were a lot of unmet expectations that were taking place. I think sometimes we act a little funky. Peter acted funky when he had unmet expectation of Jesus. He denied him 3 times, right? He thought Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman Empire, but he was taken, arrested, going to be crucified. Unmet expectations. And we all get funky when we have unmet expectations. But the key is are we willing to come before the Lord and make things right? And so that day, almost 8 years later, all heaven rejoiced because there were 2 people who said, we care more about what God thinks than about our own agenda, but our own way. We wanted to make it right before the Lord. Church, this world is looking for us to be authentic followers of him, to live congruently, to have compassionate connection, and to allow the word of God to transform our lives so much so that we can do those hard things like receive a foot washing. And for Phil, I'm sure it was very humbling for him to say, would you come? And he acknowledged his part, and I acknowledge my part. And 2 men came before the Lord with humility and said, we care about doing it God's way. Church, the world needs us to do it God's way, with humility and grace, with gentleness, with your show and tell matching. What's the world seeing? Is your show and tell matching? Is your telling of God's goodness? Is your life showing that God is faithful? is your life showing that God is consistent and true and faithful and true? And when the storms come, are you consistent in your relationship with the Lord? Are you faithful? When the tough times come, can joy still come up? Because that's, God gives us that joy in the midst of trials. When life gets rocky, can you still have peace that goes beyond our understanding? Because the world is looking to say, how are you handling it? Because if your God is true, I want to see that. I want to see that. So my encouragement to us, church, is let your show and tell be a show and tell that pleases God. Father, we're grateful for your word that has the ability to lighten the crevices of our dark heart. Father, I pray that we would be congruent in our living. Not perfect, but continue to surrender our life to you, Lord Jesus. That our actions and our beliefs match up. That we would take time to be with people, not in superficial ways, that we would really care about people well. Because that's what Jesus would do. And Lord, I just pray that if we still struggle with things, that we surrender that to you and say, Jesus, I can't do it on my own, but I do know that the world's looking. The world's looking at my life. And I want to not walk the way the rest of the world walks. I want to go to the road the less traveled, where my light would become a beacon of hope. My life would become a beacon of hope. That your light would shine brightly through my life. That others would see and know the power of who you are. Your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. The one who forgives sin. The one that has the ability to restore all the broken areas. For that, Lord, we're grateful for who you are. Let the show and tell of our life be pleasing to you. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you so much for watching us online. We're so glad that you joined us. We trust that Jesus has spoken to your heart and you've been challenged by his word. If you'd like to know more information about Grace Capital Church, please visit us at gccnh.com. We'll see you next time.